disciple who reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned round and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Very good evening to all. Let's pray together, shall we? As Jesus said to Peter of old, "Simon, I've prayed for you that your faith might not fail." Father, we pray for each of our faiths in the risen Christ this evening, that it might be strengthened, that it might grow in depth of reality, and even more cause us to love you, our great Saviour and Lord, more and more each day, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Two of my favourite pieces of scripture, which I'm sure I'll be referring to many times. One is written by, both are written in fact by Paul. One in the Corinthian correspondence, we see, in other words, you can see the light, you can see the reality of the resurrection, you can be convinced of God's love in Christ, but we see through a glass darkly. It's not completely crystal clear, you can still see, but it's through a sense of darkness. And then the other, of course, is that great prayer of blessing. Perhaps it gets too frequently, and therefore we can tune it out or miss the depths of its meaning. The peace of God, which passes, here's the point, all understanding. There is a limit to rationalism. We're never, ever going to understand everything. Even Paul says, "Okay, you've got it, but it's through a glass darkly." Not wanting to mess with anyone's head, but I do think psychologically some people can be too certain about certainty. The biblical way of seeing things is to have a degree of humility about things. Leslie Newbegin wrote a marvellous book called A Proper Confidence. You can be confident, but this confidence needs to be properly placed. And the scripture says, the peace of God will come to you in Christ, but you're never going to be able to get your head around it. You can see the reality of Christ and his resurrection, but actually it's going to be pretty hazy and dark. And even if you think about the first few experiences of the resurrection of Christ, his glorious, amazing, factual resurrection we celebrate the anniversary of even on this day, Mary comes with weeping and confusion. The disciples have questions. One is even called the doubting one. Even though the Apostle Paul gets a blinding light and seemingly is converted on the moment, He has to spend days, probably even weeks, coming to terms with it. I'm introducing, friends, on this most holy day when we can be triumphant, that we're on the winning side, that it's still okay to have questions. And I'm gently challenging people that might think it's just all sewn up and there's no need to have any questions about anything, at any time, at anywhere. That, in my view, is just to deny reality. Why on earth would Jesus pray for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail? Now, how do we gain access to what I'm wanting to describe is a proper place for questioning, and that questioning, that route through these questions, which is part of our lot of being human, should be paced and dealt with well. One route I've found is through the vehicle of poetry. And I'm going to introduce now, if I may, the great Welsh poet R.S. Thomas, who was in fact a clergyman. Many people have looked at his character and studied his life in his parish, and I have to say there is an interesting side to that narrative, but what he's more famous for is his many poems, a good number of which have deliberate Christian themes. I was introduced to this one this year, and because it's principally about the resurrection, I've thought about it and read it a few times, and I thought, I wonder if there's something to share here this evening. So I'm going to read the poem, I trust thoughtfully, to bring out some of its meaning. Listen to it as you will. Let what strikes you strike you. That's how poems work. It isn't just a narrative. You have many different glimpses of many different things along the way. What will strike you might not strike someone else. Once I've read it, I'm going to make one or two comments, and I hope trustfully link RST's thoughts into the Christian narrative, which of course we celebrate today. Even the title is suggestive, isn't it? The answer to many, many of our questions. Not darkness, but twilight, in which even the best of minds must make its way now. And slowly the questions occur, vague, but formidable for all that. We pass our hands over their surface like blind men, feeling for the mechanism that will swing them aside. They yield, but only to reform as new problems. And one does not even do that, but towers immovable before us. Is there no way of other thought of answering its challenge? There is an anticipation of it to the point of dying. There have been times when, after long on my knees, in a cold chancel, a stone has rolled from my mind. And I have looked in and seen the old questions lie folded and in a place by themselves, like the piled grave clothes of love's risen body. Well, you've experienced the answer. It comes into land, to my mind, quite beautifully in that most evocative phrase, referring, of course, to our risen Lord Jesus Christ, the three last words of the poem, love's risen body. There he is, magnificent, loving, and risen for all time. But how does he get there? Through a glass darkly? Through lack of understanding, as the poem starts, not darkness but twilight. And even the best of minds wrestle with these things. Questions occur, formidable ones, in our own minds. There's still the scientist in me. I trained as a scientist. How is it possible that a physical human body that is dead comes back to life again. The stuff of science fiction, you might think. The stuff of escapist reality. But how did this happen? What's the implication of it for me? What about some of the other questions I might have in my mind? You can almost sense in the line, we pass our hands over their surface like blind men feeling for the mechanism that will swing them aside. If only I could push a button and understand why. What was going to happen? What's the answer to all this? Fascinating, St. Paul writes about the revelation of the gospel, that eyes are open. The eyes of our heart are open. And there's something happening there in this particular poem as the questions emerge. Something shifts in our understanding. Notice too, there's the picture of the priest. One would like to think also of the Christian believers praying. You have the sense in which in this cold chancel, perhaps he's kneeling on the ground. And a stone has been rolled away from my mind. Something spiritually happens. After long on my knees, read the books, argue all you want, question all you want, but more theology is found as you pray, as you actively pray and search, than all the writing and thinking that you can do. There have been times when, after long on my knees in a cold chancel, a stone has rolled from my mind. You get the illusion? The stone there in Jerusalem of Christ's grave. The stone rolled away, not so that Christ could get out, but so that we could see in that he's not there. Hallelujah, he is risen. And so Paul's language would say, the eyes of my heart have been opened. Thomas describes it almost as a stone that has been removed from my mind. I wonder where you are with some of these things. I mentioned my third point, comments on life applications. Probably too grandiose a phrase, but notice the movement and the pace through the poem. It doesn't rush to get to the answer. It's not glib, superficial, or trite. There's a journey, there's an exploration, there are questionings. It's been my experience that when people have something they're struggling with, they will either fight it or they're either flight from it. Escape from it or hit it hard on. Neither, it seems to me, are appropriate. You can see those that are just denying the whole thing, brushing it under the carpet. I'm not really thinking this, I'm not really feeling this, I'm not really facing this. And it will come out sideways. Or fighting it inappropriately. This particular poem has a wonderful way of letting the hard, depressing, chilled reality of life come to your soul, bring you almost to your knees, and have the God who loves you open the eyes of your heart, and the stone has been rolled away. You'll see love's risen body. So important to realize that Christianity is not primarily a principle. Christianity is primarily a person. Christianity is not primarily a creed. Christianity is Christ. Christianity is not fundamentally an argument. Christianity is another person right by you. Love's risen body. Christ himself there for you. See through a glass darkly. Where are their shadows? Where are their darknesses? Where are their uncertainties? They're there, you wouldn't be human if you didn't have them. But could you see, has Christ rolled away in your eyes of your heart, that you can see something of Jesus there for you? Have you received the peace that passes all understanding? You can't get your head around it. Really not sure how I'm going to face this. It's because you're not meant to. You're not masters of your own destiny. You're not meant to sort it out. You're loved creatures before a loving Creator God who has a plan, who has a purpose, and simply invites you to walk with him and to know his peace. That's what Easter's all about. It happened all those years ago. The stone was rolled away, the tomb is empty, Jesus is alive for you and what you're facing at the moment. For those you're praying for on that long chancel cold stone floor. Hallelujah. Christ is risen. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, by your goodness and mercy, may each one of us receive a fresh experience of love's risen body beside us and within us. Even now, we hand to you our questions, our struggles, all that makes us us. And may your peace rest upon us, enfold us, and fill us. Even to that day when we'll meet you face to face in all your glorious resurrection power. Amen.